Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program. I hope you enjoy it. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you are listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Earlier this week, the Ontario government announced a record spending package to address the pandemic. Finance Minister Rod Phillips said Wednesday the province will spend an additional $17 billion to help stem the tide of the impact of COVID-19 on the healthcare system, the economy, and people. To help us understand the details of this financial package and its impact on Northumberland, I spoke to Northumberland Peterborough South MPP David Pacini online earlier this week. Well, again, thank you for being with me, David. I know you're incredibly busy with everything that's going on. There was a very big announcement from the Ontario government to address the impact of COVID-19 on the finances and the economy. Can you give us an overview of the package that was announced?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me this morning, Rob. Well, as you can imagine, in response to COVID-19, as a government, we've had to refocus our supports predominantly around aid and COVID. So this, what was supposed to be a budget, is now an economic update. And in it, we provide $10 billion in additional supports to people, businesses, our healthcare system. We know our healthcare system is under significant strain, and submitting those funds to support our system, a contingency and reserve fund to support our healthcare system, a number of supports for students, for seniors, for businesses. I mean, in the budget, there's supports for Ontarians to help them weather the storm.
There's a lot of details in here, so can we just take a few moments and unpack a bit of it? I know that there was money for healthcare, and yes. Where would that money be going if we could talk about it locally? Where do you see the dollars trickling down to local institutions?
So there's $953 million invested into the hospital sector. We're going to see increased capacity for testing, increased capacity for assessment centers. A number of our hospitals are preparing increased ICU pressures, preparing for that should that be an eventuality. Increased supports for our frontline healthcare workers. In the budget, you've seen support for daycare services as well for our frontline healthcare workers. A lot of them I've spoken to, some who have to isolate themselves from COVID. And who have to look after their families. You'll see a number of additional assessment centers locally. After this interview with you today, I'm going to be moving on to another call to expand our assessment centers into Trent Hills. So the healthcare response has been swift. It's been immediate, and the action of the Government of Ontario to date has been decisive in helping protect Ontarians and do what we have to do to ensure supports are there for the most vulnerable in the budget as well. I'd reference, while I'm on that, $200 million additional dollars to support the most vulnerable. We're going to see increased supports for our municipalities, a lot of whom are service providers for the homeless, increased supports for food banks, charities, and other groups. Of that nature.
Well, let's just go back for a second. Do we know, have any idea of the specific numbers for, say, Northumberland Hills and Campbellford?
We don't. I'm responding live to, you know, things. Absolutely. Like increased testing capacity. To give you an example, though, of how immediate and how swift this is, yesterday I got off the call for flow-through dollars for an increased assessment center. And it wasn't, Rob, that the funds were an issue. It was just literally signing the paperwork and getting the flow-through funding. And for those in the healthcare sector, and if I may, part of the challenges are, given the pandemic of this nature, it's ensuring funds move quickly. So what we see often is transfer payment recipients who are already on the books and signed agreements with government are getting flow through dollars for something that they perhaps don't necessarily directly deliver. But we're seeing remarkable collaboration in the sector, so that if it's a group, family health in this case, working with a hospital, they themselves don't receive the transfer payment, but it flows through the hospital. So funding is flowing quickly, and we're doing it so quickly that we're addressing it in a manner that goes straight to utilizing existing transfer payment agreements, I should say.
Another thing you referenced was help for the most vulnerable. And I know that we opened CCI, Cobourg Collegiate Institute, as a temporary shelter. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about? Because when the announcement came, I understand it was very unique at the moment.
Yes, no, it was. When we look at the most vulnerable in times like these, with the closure of a number of facilities at the municipal level, and the inability, let's say, to access public libraries, some public spaces as we protect the public, broader public against COVID-19, often the most at risk are the most vulnerable. And when we think of some of the homelessness issues in Cobourg, it was incumbent on us to be able to respond to support those in need, to ensure that they were exercising social distancing. I know there are still some local concerns which are being addressed as we speak, but the ability to move quickly with in this manner, utilizing existing assets, so the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board and Cobourg Collegiate, they were so responsive. We all, in a matter of 48 hours, gathered, got together, had the discussion, a facility that has shower facilities, a facility that we're able to spread people out. Now, a number of people were wondering, what does this look like? Well, it's in a confined and sectioned off area of CCI. But to see the school board able to respond and to address this issue, and from my perspective, as we look long-term towards providing supports for the most vulnerable, being able to utilize the fact that our region is already in a pilot project with service system manager Fleming, who is the lead of that service system manager approach to the most vulnerable. Now, phase two is wrapping those supports around those individuals to ensure that they are able to get those wraparound supports. But first and foremost, we had to move quickly. We had to move quickly to make sure people were housed, they had a roof over their head. And in disasters and times like this, a government and others are often defined on how quickly one is able to move to support those in need. And I'm proud of the decisive nature with which all of the community partners came together, acted quickly. And to see, on March break, the folks in the education sector come in, the principal who greeted us, mere hours after asking the school board, county, our police, fire, the health unit. It was just a remarkable community, a showing of community spirit, but also of the community coming together.
And also to be a first in the province, to set an example for others. One of the aspects of the announcement yesterday was aid for seniors. Can you elaborate upon specifically, because we have so many seniors in our community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was there was supports, a number of supports for seniors. Sorry about that. That's my trusty supporter today, my dog. But we talked about supports for seniors when you think of times like this in need, you look at seniors, and an individual is eligible for, I think it's just over $100 in support, and a couple, an additional $300. And that's to go with additional federal supports and taxation measure for seniors as well.
Okay. Now, I also know that there's been some changes for post-secondary students, and I know we have a lot of students at home right now that might be listening in. Can you explain what is in this financial update for them?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I'd also just add to enclosure on seniors as well. There's additional 5 million supports. I know a lot of depend on community care in Northumberland locally and others to support in food delivery and are scared to go out in times like this. So there were additional supports for that as well. For students, we've partnered with the federal government a lot. I would preface this by saying a lot of the supports you're seeing, a collaboration between the feds and the province, and a lot of these holistically augment one another. So you're not seeing a duplication at different levels. In times like this, you've got to work together in a whole of government approach. So for students, the Canada student loan portion and the OSAP portion are combined together. And again, we're one of the first movers across Canada in ensuring students in Ontario have a 6-month interest-free and loan repayment-free period in which they don't have to worry about those loan repayments. They can focus on ensuring that they have the supports, that they have the food, the supports that they need to go about their day-to-day lives. I know for many, they're just starting their career and maybe laid off or maybe looking for employment, and we don't want the burden of student loans over their shoulders. So this is 6 months, and it marries the federal program.
When people are reading some of the coverage and the press releases around the financial statement, there's a lot of use of the word defer. Can you explain it to our audience? What do you mean by deferring something? I know it can mean different things in different contexts. So in these cases where we see the government saying it's going to defer this, or it's going to defer your payments or defer something else, what does that mean to us?
I think when we look to individuals, small businesses and others, in the conversations I've had when I've convened our local chambers and our local municipal partners and federal partners, a lot of the concern that many face, small businesses, is just cash flow right now and being able to ensure that they have the supports right now to weather this storm long term. Government obviously depends on revenue from taxation, and being able to defer that, I mean, that's significant lost revenue for government, but it's the responsible and decisive decision the government has to make to help us collectively weather the storm, to support businesses and becoming perhaps having a little more cash flow during these uncertain times. I know I'm hearing a lot of stories of small businesses continuing to keep many of their employees on payroll, trying to continue to support them through these times. But a lot of the fixed costs, they're unable to move. So we talk about electricity. We've outright lowered those to off-peak. We talk about being able to defer a bulk of the provincial tax measures, the education tax credit. Again, a lot of that marries municipally what they're doing for property tax deferrals. So with no accrual of interest. So this helps our small and medium businesses, the bulk of which employ, the majority, I should say, of residents of our community, helps them be a little more cash flow positive. And for an individual, the supports we're seeing are direct payments to individuals through these difficult times. I know the Prime Minister yesterday announced, I think, approximately $2,000 for individuals. We've announced supports for parents with children, to marry again the federal Canada Child Care benefit, so that we can provide direct supports to individuals and cash deferrals for businesses.
And just go over the small business and medium business initiatives that were announced yesterday, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming fast and heavy, a lot of the supports, but we've seen a deferral of tax measures. So if you look to a number of the provincial tax measures, obviously a reduction in WSIB premiums, the workplace health payments that they've made, and the provincial tax measures like that education tax that a number were looking at paying this quarter. That was one of the number one things that I heard from businesses, in that our fixed costs aren't moving here. So by taking those provincial taxes and deferring them for, in some cases, a period of a number of months, 90 days, it's helping them at this stage. And again, as the Premier said, this is an important measures that we've taken, but we're willing to do more if need be, because we're in this together and we're committed to fighting this. And we're working very closely with the federal government to help our business community weather this.
Can you just talk a bit about how this has been for you personally? I know you've probably been incredibly, incredibly busy, but how are you weathering what's been going on?
We've as a provincial member and as someone who serves the public, I think there's an expectation among the public that you're there to support them. And personally for me, it's been challenging, but also it's been uplifting. So challenging in the respect that I've never had as many calls and walk-ins and hearing the challenges so many of my constituents are facing, but more importantly, just my fellow neighbors. These are people whom I know on a personal level, many of whom these are neighbors and residents, and just seeing them weather this storm and the challenges they're facing. I have to support them during these times, and I'm doing everything we can to support them with EI, to support our small businesses, to move quickly and try and be ahead of the curve, to foresee some of the challenges down the road so that we can respond quickly. But again, I mean, personally, I'm trying to self-isolate. I'm in my office, but we're here, a walk-ins only. We're protecting the front area, asking people, to sanitize when they come in, and then when they leave, we clean down the area. But to be here and to be accessible for people when they need you most. I haven't seen many family members, friends, but through Zoom, I get to see you. I've spoken to a number of my colleagues through Zoom. I've become a real Zoomer, and not to be confused with the magazine, but I think it's forced me collectively to pivot on how I serve residents of the community and really look to technology to support me in that delivery.
How about in terms of the overall impact in your family and friends? Do you happen to know anybody who has become infected, and how's that impacted you?
Well, I do. We've had challenges. I should say I've never had a challenge of this magnitude to address as an elected member. Personally, in my immediate family, we have not. I have older parents and a number of loved ones that are at higher risk. So we are taking this very seriously and exercising social distancing. And on a personal note, I feel healthy and I'm trying every day to take the right safety precautions to maintain good health. And a plea to everybody locally, especially younger people. We're not invincible, and we have to heed the very well-founded advice of our public health officials. And I think utilizing technology and practicing social distancing enables you to do things that you might otherwise not have been able to do in the hustle and bustle of your day-to-day lives. Read a book, get out more. I'm for walks, obviously. I've been able to do that. But again, you have to practice social distancing. And also working remotely. So personally, I've been okay through all of this, and I've valued the opportunity, each and every day to work with constituents in this riding, work with different levels of government. And I've got to say, this pandemic has really taken the stripes off of us, remove the partisanship, and to be able to work so closely at different levels of government. I've spoken to a number of federal Liberal members, but we're not, it's not a Liberal Conservative. We're just different levels of government working together. And at the municipal level, all of our mayors, councillors, it's been good working with them, upper tier, and our healthcare professionals. I'm thankful certainly for our frontline workers at each and every day.
If you were able to send out one last message to everybody at this point, what would you like to say?
Well, I would say to everybody that please heed the advice of our healthcare professionals. Please, if you are returning to our community, we have an older population in Northumberland, and be very vigilant as a community. If I think of the RVs and Walmart, the community quick response there was decisive, and please practice social distancing. I've seen a lot of people in takeouts not doing that. So please take this very seriously. When you're going shopping, getting the essentials you need to get, please practice distancing. This is in the community now. So we have to be very diligent, and you have to listen to our public health care officials. And you have to do it because the lives of your loved ones and of community members in our community depend on it. So please do that, And together, we're going to overcome this. I think we'll emerge stronger as a community, seeing the remarkable acts of community kindness that we've seen. We will emerge stronger. Your government is here to support you during these difficult times. And all levels of government are working together in a whole of government approach. So please I'm asking everyone to do their part so that our healthcare professionals, our first responders and others can do theirs. So please stay at home, practice social distancing.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me, Ron.
Good luck, David.
Thanks. You too. Stay well.
I'll do my best. I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. While we are all busy self-isolating, it's important to remember the world has not stopped entirely. If you know of a good story or have an idea for a story, please let me know. You can email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com and include as much detail as possible, especially contact information. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, please let me know. You can also email me at the same address. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this.